Hello, welcome to Press TV News Analysis. I'm Kavita Akwai. Opposition forces attacked people for being government supporters. Outside elements that are financing illegal armed groups, supporting extremists, hiring mercenaries, and transporting them across the border. These are not part of the UN Arab League envoy Kofi Annan's peace plan, yet they are being carried out. The country, Syria, the country supporting these illegal activities, the United States, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Turkey at the forefront. That's what we'll be discussing with our guests in this edition of the Press TV News Analysis.
We are very concerned about the spread of terrorist networks in Syria. The responsibility for what is happening is not entirely on the Syrian government. To a high degree, this is caused by the acts of those who continue financing illegal armed groups, recruiting mercenaries, helping them cross the border into Syria.
Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey are said to be supplying Syrian armed groups with money and weapons. They're among the so-called Friends of Syria, a US-backed group that, as Lavrov says, are the friends of Syria's anti-government groups. These so-called friends say they are concerned about civilian casualties in Syria, but at the same time, it's widely believed that they are sending mercenaries to fan the flames of violence there. Qatar and Saudi Arabia have even called for military intervention in Syria for what they call establishing democracy. But the question many ask is how the two Arab monarchies, whose people are deprived of basic democratic principles, can preach democracy overseas. Turkey, a NATO member state, and one of Syria's neighbors, also claims to be after ending the crisis in Syria. Ankara, which has been following what it calls a zero-problem policy with its neighbors, also faces accusations of interfering in its neighbors' affairs. The Turkish government is now under fire for refusing to hand over Tarek al-Hashimi, Iraq's fugitive vice president, who is accused of running death squads back in his country. Many believe the recent crisis in Syria must be resolved by the people of Syria themselves. The Syrian government has already started implementing reforms. Damascus says it is ready for dialogue with opposition groups to tackle the over a year-long deadly unrest. Some observers believe what Syria needs right now is its neighbors' assistance to combat terrorism and restore stability both to the country and the region.
Let's find out what our guests think. Let me introduce them. We have from London, Haytham al-Sabahi from the Syrian Social Club. From Beirut, Omar Nashabi from the Al-Akhbar newspaper. And writer and radio host Stephen Lemon joins us from Chicago. Gentlemen, welcome. Stephen Lemon, I'm going to start with you. The Russian Foreign Minister, Sergei Lavrov, said it as it was. Financing of illegal armed groups, support for extremists, hiring mercenaries, and more alarmingly, fanning the flames of sectarianism. Enlighten us, Stephen Lemon, which countries and why aren't they stopped, is he talking about?
He's talking mainly about Washington, Kaveh. There is no question this is a Washington-orchestrated war. It's a low-level war to the extent that NATO hasn't gotten directly involved. But it's exactly what happened in Libya last year. An insurgency began. Washington orchestrated it. Insurgents were recruited, they were funded, they were armed. There were U.S. Special Forces, British Special Forces, CIA, MI6, Qatari Special Forces. They're in Syria now. They're directing these massacres, these killings. They're funding, they're training in the arms, they're picking targets, they're leading these death squad gangs to places like Hula, to Kiba. They're picking out who to slaughter. They're going after pro-Assad loyalists. You always have to ask, when terrible incidents occur, whether it's car bombings, whether it's massacres of civilians, qui bono, who benefits? Assad gets nothing from this. Only the opposition gains. Assad is the victim. The victim is being blamed for the perpetrator crimes, but again, make no mistake, The nexus of this struggle emanates from Washington. Doesn't matter whether it's Obama or George Bush or anybody else. Syria and other regional countries have been targeted for regime change for years, at least a decade. It was only a question when each one would come up. Syria's turn came up, and violence has been raging since early last year.
Oh, and actually, I'm trying to understand, as many are, in terms of Saudi Arabia and Qatar that Stephen Lenman mentioned there, they're monarchies themselves. So in terms of talking about democracy, why is it that they are preaching what they are on Syria, where at the same time the Syrian president has made concerted efforts when we talk about reforms, a new parliament, etc.?
Yes, exactly. That's the irony. The irony, as was shown in your report. I mean, Saudi Arabia, the record of Saudi Arabia, as we can read the human rights record of Saudi Arabia in international human rights organizations' reports, and in the reports issued by the United Nations, by the Commission for Human Rights in Geneva, show that Saudi Arabia and other Gulf countries have a very bleak record and a very negative record when it comes to respecting basic human rights and some democratic principles. I mean, there were some flagrant violations inside Saudi Arabia recently. There were people in the eastern areas of in the Qatif area in Saudi Arabia that were trying to express themselves in peaceful demonstrations. They were crushed violently by the police, and there weren't even information that was spread in the international media. I think perhaps Press TV was one of the very few media to be able to that tried to actually get some information from what's happening inside Saudi Arabia. But I think the authorities there are oppressive to a point where information cannot even be leaked from inside some Saudi cities and villages where people are trying to express themselves and calling for freedom. I just before I continue, perhaps it's important to add something to the report that was shown before we started you started the program. Is that I think that it should be mentioned that a number of Lebanese, and before them a number of Iranian civilians who were passing through the Syrian territory, were kidnapped by these terrorist groups, and the whereas the Iranians were released a few weeks back, a number of Lebanese who were visiting Iran and who were coming by bus were kidnapped. And the interesting thing about this kidnapping is that Turkey claims and the Turkish authorities claim that these persons are in good health and that they're doing the negotiations. And today, just today, there was a report that one of the kidnappers or a spokesman for the kidnappers is meeting with some Turkish authorities in the city of, I think in the south of Turkey somewhere. So it's interesting because it shows that how closely connected these terrorist groups are with the with Turkey. And this confirms what Minister Lavrov just expressed today. And I just want to mention that the position of Russia and the position of China with regards to interference in Syria and with regards to the initiatives that were made recently to actually have a ceasefire and find a political solution are in compliance with the United Nations Charter. The Western powers, such as the United States and France and Great Britain and the European Union, are the ones who are trying to breach the UN Charter by seeking a military solution. There are no military solutions to these problems. However, these Western powers are always seeking more blood, apparently.
That's a very good point, and it puts the question of the UN and its efficiency, Haytham al-Sabahi, into question, doesn't it? Because we're not talking about just the funding that's going on. Of course, we know the military backing, but the extent of the military backing, it's interesting. I'm going to refer to an incident of which Lebanese authorities, at the end of April, they seized a ship. And on that ship that was coming from Libya, it carried anti-tank and anti-aircraft missiles that were destined for Syrian opposition groups. I mean, tell us how it is that countries from the UN are doing this. Of course, our guest Stephen Lenman said the U.S. is orchestrating it. But when we're looking at the extent of these military equipment, is quite frightening, but it's not something reported that often.
First of all, good evening to you and to your guests and viewers. Perhaps the legal point of view about members of UN funding this armed group, I will leave it to Dr. Omar. He's more on the legal issues than me. But when it comes to Syria and to the what's happening in Syria, for sending arms and monies, and obviously these countries, they are not denying it, they're saying it, and this is against the international law, and recruiting jihadists, they called from Libya and Tunisia and various countries, and sending them to Turkey, and they're crossing through the border. And what's happened, I believe, the Syrian government has left too many windows for the diplomacy in the last 14 years and tried really hard to make Mr. Kofi Annan a plan to succeed. But on the other side, Qatar and Saudi Arabia sending the Wahhabis, the jihadists, involved with the Muslim Brotherhood and some of the Salafists to fight in Syria. And what we believe is in the last 2-3 days, the Syrian government said that's it. And according to the President Bashar Assad's speech also, he called him the enemy. They are within. He means the enemy now is inside Syria. So the Syrian people, they've been calling on a swift action for months against these elements, these criminals. They are gangs, what do you call it? They're militarizing some children and giving weapons to underage, and doing all the atrocities in Syria. So the swift action has begun, and there is no go back, and the diplomacy has to work outside Syria with the Syrian action on the ground, because there is no rooms for maneuvers anymore with this terrorist group. They have some sort of ideology in them, and these people, they are not going to come to neither table or have a dialogue. They understand the language. They believe to fight and kill. So they have to, the Syrian army has taken the action now to go after these people and to clear the area.
Right.
So we are on two lines at the moment. The diplomacy for the outside, led of course by Russia and China, with the Syrian given the chance to it, also still believe it can happen, but with the action on the ground to get rid of this elements and their backers. It's simple as that.
Well, Stephen Lenman, Sergey Lavrov also accused some of these countries, including the Arab countries and some Western countries, that they're trying to undermine this 6-point peace plan. And of course, along with that, we have threats of civil war that's being echoed from different corners from officials. So is that something that is the goal when it comes to these countries who are backing the opposition, that they want to undermine this 6-point peace plan? They want to make sure that it fails in order to achieve their goals?
Kaveh, I have written about Kofi Annan. I've written several times about him. During his tenure as UN Secretary General, a solid decade, he never lifted a finger, never did a thing to stop imperial wars. He's not doing it now. His so-called peace plan puts the onus on Assad. He barely mentions these insurgents, these death squads, these killers. And Ban Ki-moon is the same thing. He and Annan are imperial tools. And let me make the key point. the most important point of all, what's going on in Syria now, what went on in Libya last year, what's going on in Iraq, Afghanistan, is the ugly face of imperialism, Western imperialism, U.S. imperialism, Israeli imperialism. Human lives don't matter. Ravage them. Body counts don't matter. Who bothers? Who keeps count? Conquest, dominance, that's what matters. Israel wants no regional rival. America wants no global rival. The Gulf Council states, others in the region, Turkey is a NATO state, Jordan, they are allied with the West. They are allied in these dirty wars against innocent people. The ones who suffer most are the civilians. They're dying every day. Let's point fingers the right way. Assad is the victim. Washington, NATO, the criminal Arab League partners, they're the villains. And the only way to beat them is to expose them and spread the word and get as many people as possible to understand what's going on. Truth is the weapon to defeat them. We don't have the military might. We're nonviolent, but we can beat them through truth. And that's why Press TV is so important, and programs like News Analysis and everything else that Press TV does. All of us can play some role. I try to do it on my own radio program.
Right.
This is the vital thing. But let's point fingers where they belong.
Well, when you talk about exposing those countries like Saudi Arabia and Qatar, pretty much Omar al-Nashabi just coming out and saying we're doing this. But Omar al-Nashabi, another aspect of this is this fanning of sectarianism, which is very dangerous in this volatile region. And that is something that many view as being a last resort to get this going for the opposition and, of course, the goals that they have in terms of their backers. How dangerous is that? Because we are seeing the spillover onto Lebanon, and of course, the dangers consequentially in the region may be a possibility.
Yes. Yes. First, I want to salute your guest from Chicago for his courage and for speaking up for justice and humanity. And when speaking for justice and humanity, I think one would condemn the policies of the of Washington and the policies of the Zionist state that is trying to actually create chaos and more wars in the region. The issue of sectarianism is, as you pointed out, is a very dangerous issue. It is an issue that has been that has started to be on the forefront of things when the American campaign in Iraq failed. The American invasion of Iraq failed. So I think the American intelligence tried to encourage and incite Shiites and Sunnis to kill each other through several groups and several activities that they did. And I think this they tried to actually spread this all over the region, because that would weaken Iraq, it would weaken Syria, it would weaken any potential force that could threaten the security of Israel. And that is the primary concern. The security of Israel is paramount to the Western powers, and that is why it is important to weaken any power. And Syria is one of those powers that supported the resistance all along. And therefore, today, the agenda is that the resistance against Israel has to be, according to the American, Israeli, European agenda, has to be labeled as a Shia resistance. Because that would put it in contrast or in opposition with the Sunni majority in the region. That is the conspiracy. And I am usually not in favor of conspiracy theories, but that is clearly the case today, and it is clearly the case in Lebanon. And this has started to be more accentuated after the 2006 bombardment of Lebanon by the Israelis, because Israel has the resistance in Lebanon, Hezbollah namely, has proven that it is capable of defending Lebanon. It is capable of threatening the security of Israel, and that is a matter that cannot be accepted or tolerated by Washington or by the Europeans or any other allies of the Zionist state. And that is the core of the issue when it comes to sectarianism.
Right, and one of the dangers there, Haytham el-Sabahi, which could be far-fetched, could be a speculation, but you know, countries like Saudi Arabia, like Qatar, within themselves, these monarchies, let's take Saudi Arabia, people are not happy. Isn't there a possibility that this could spread in terms of within Saudi Arabia? I mean, it could be far-fetched thinking about it, but maybe not. I mean, what is it to say that the United States is not going to be inadvertently then go after these countries, such as Saudi Arabia? They know what's going on there. I mean, this whole region could be inflamed when this is put into play.
First of all, United States is not going to go against the Saudi Arabia because this royal family in Saudi Arabia is made in USA. That's one thing. And the issues, what is happening for demonstration, this is spreading to Saudi Arabia. There is a lot of dissent in Saudi Arabia at the moment. I mean, we hear all sorts of stories, and the last most ridiculous thing, women get arrested in a shopping center just because she has her fingers, what you call it, manicured and painted. And there is a lot of issues, and there is a lot of fatwas is coming out. So the standing there of Syria, and actually we combating this on every level at the moment, and it is going to cause some Saudis to come out against their own government, because there is a lot of atrocities in Saudi Arabia, and it's a shame with the country with that wealth. There is a number of people, or there is good number of people under the poverty line. So Syrian issues is going to highlight this. And when we come to, as your guest said about, we have to point a finger, I tell him we've been trying for the last 14 months. In the beginning, we have this media paid by Qatar, like Jazeera and Arabia, paid by Saudi Arabia. They were organized very well, and they spread a lot of incitement, fabrication, and it was hard for us to bring the truth. Now they are, let me tell you, now they are crumbling, and the truth is coming out maybe on some Western newspapers, and coming out everywhere. It's like the story for what's happened to Channel 4, which I don't like the guy anyway, but what's happened with him in Syria, where the government took him, put him under the range of the fire, so he can be killed, and they blame the Syrian government. Exactly, this is the type of operations they do. They're killing children, women, and they're trying to blame the Syrian government. But I think is a lot of these issues, and the people in around the world is more aware of these issues at the moment, and that's why Syrian government, I believe, they waited a long time for these issues to come out and start to be clear around the world, and they start taking the swift action on the ground. And that is the demand of the majority people, because the majority of people, and this so-called Mr. Ban Ki-moon, who really care about the Syrian people, he doesn't know that most of the Syrian people are the poor ones, especially. Are they suffering from those sanctions? Are they suffering on the ground in Syria? We suffer from
shortages.
All right,
shortages. I'm sorry, I got to jump in
they
here. Unfortunately, we're out of time.
Being.
I do apologize. Thank you very much.
Syrian
from the
people.
Syrian Social Club, Haytham el-Sabahi from London. Thank you. From Beirut, Omar al-Nashabi from Al Akhbar newspaper, and from Chicago, Stephen Lenman, writer and radio host. And thank you for watching another edition of the Press TV News Analysis. Any questions or comments, newsroom@presstv.ir. Sorry, email address. From Mika Betafwi and the entire team, it's goodbye.